Good morning and welcome back to Nachiyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on Melachim Aleph, Perek Zayin, the seventh Perek of Melachim Aleph. I want to be very honest with you. This is a Perek which is actually one of those Nach stoppers. That means to say this is a Perek that people, you know, ideally, sparkly-eyed, go into Tanakh and they reach this Perek, and this is one of the ones that stop them. Because this is an excessively long Perek and it's very technical about the details of building the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. So I want to just do a quick summary. And instead of doing the summary and then points to ponder at the end, I want to try to work through the summary and just try to give some basic overviews of this section. I'm also going to send out in the group chat just some pictures of what I'm going to be talking about in this particular episode so we get more of an actual visual understanding of what's really going on over here. Once again, we need to put behind our perspectives of what the Mishkan looked like and try to get a sense of what the Beis HaMikdash looks like. Another thing which is also important while thinking about this is most of the pictures of the Beis HaMikdash that we see are the second or third bias, meaning to say the bias at the times of the second Beis HaMikdash always was made by Herod. Now, we're not talking about that. Shlomo's Beis HaMikdash looked different to the second Beis HaMikdash, and so we have to sort of also remember that most of the pictures online we're seeing are not Shlomo's Beis HaMikdash, that are the second one. So with that in mind, the Perek starts off in the first few Psukim, Perek Zayin, Aleph to Yud Beis, is really actually describing Shlomo Melech making his own house. His own house is called Ya'ar HaLevanon, the wood of Lebanon, because it's made of the cedars of Lebanon. Just as an interesting political point today, if you look at the flag of Lebanon today, they still have the cedar of Lebanon as part of their pride and their national pride in it. So Shlomo Melech made this beautiful house, his own house, which was 100 by 50 by 30. And it's paneled with wood and it's got these beautiful big square windows. The Meforashim say, the Mitzvot David says that it was made in such a way because that's the way kings had their houses in the day. It was spacious and cool so that during the hot summer months they could cool down in this house. The Tanakh tells us that it took him 13 years to make it. Why is this relevant? So the Chidah points out that this is juxtaposed to the creation of the Beis HaMikdash, which took 7 years to build. So in terms of prioritization, the Tanakh is clearly showing us that while, even though that Shlomo was making his own house, that was clearly second in priority to Hashem's house, this is to the praise of Shlomo Melech. In the meantime, while this is happening, now we return to the making of the Beis HaMikdash. Shlomo chooses an architect. His name is Hiram, who comes from Tzor, from Tyre, not to be confused with the king. He is a person who is he is the son of a widow from the tribe of Naphtali. And his father is an Ish Tzori, from a person from Tyre, who is a Choresh Nechoshes, so he's a coppersmith. What is interesting is that if you compare this to Direi Yamim, we're told a few more extra details about Hiram then, and he is actually from the other side of the family. His father's from the tribe of Dan, which is clearly linking him to the similar kind of perspective of Ohaliyov, who was one of the constructors of the Mishkan, sort of that kind of person. The Radak says on a basic level, the reason why he was chosen was because he was an artisan, the son of an artisan, so he had really good training. Rashi points out, fascinatingly enough, that the way it describes his wisdom is, he was filled with Chochma, Bina, and Das, which are in fact the three things which are used to describe Hashem's creation of this world, which in the Pasuk says in Mishle, in Perakimel, Bechochma Yised Oretz, Koinen Shemaim Betzvuna, Bedaatoi Tohamois Nivku'u, Hashem created this world with three elements, they are Chochma, Bina, and Das, and these are the three elements which are necessary for the human being to create the Mikdash. It is interesting that the creation of the Mikdash and the Mishkan is often compared to the creation of the earth, the heavens and earth by Hashem, and this is obviously a reflective pattern. So Hiram is in charge of the project. There are a few things that are part of this project. The first thing we're introduced to are these beautiful pillars. At the entrance of the Beis HaMikdash, the actual inner sanctum, are these two huge pillars which tower up. They've got beautiful crowns, intricate designs in the top, and they're actually given names. Their names are called Yachin and Boaz. If those names sound familiar, it's because this is the names that Shlomo gave to his pillars. Why were these pillars given so much time, so much definition and distinction? So the Radak says is simply because the words are Yachin means like the word Hachana, preparation, and Boaz means with strength. So Shlomo HaMelech is giving strength to those that enter and preparation to those who enter the Mikdash. Remember how powerful an experience it is to enter the base of Mikdash. The Ralbag says that it might actually be in correlation with times of the day, meaning to say they're actually north and south of each other, because remember the Mikdash is facing west, and these would correlate certain different distinctions in the time of day, which could be sensed in the fauna and the flora life around us. And he goes into large scientific detail as to describing what their positioning and their importance. Whereas the Malbim says, no, on a Kabbalistic level, they were 18 amos high, and the reason why they were is because the 18 vertebrae in the spine, this is a Kabbalistically linking heaven and earth at the entrance of the Mikdash. So many levels, on a practical level, on a scientific level, on a Kabbalistic level, these are the entrance way to the Mikdash. I'll be sending out a picture of what the Yachin and Boaz looked like according to some of the descriptions or the pictures and the artists we have today. The next thing he created is what's called the Yam Shel Shlomo. Yam Shel Shlomo means literally the Sea of Shlomo. This was a huge basin, which was 10 amos high, and it was this large circle which contained water, and it rested on 12 bronze cows, so three pointing in each direction, in all four directions, and this would be this large basin of water. And what was it used for? It was actually used, as the Mitzvot points out, in as quoting Divrei Hayamim, which describes the same area, it was actually used as a mikveh for the Kohanim, which obviously means that the water could not have been poured, so there was actually a pipe system moving through the cow's feet into this, which was a natural spring system from underneath the ground, which would fill this, which would make it a kosher mikveh, and this is what the Kohanim would do their mikveh to be pure for their service in the base of Mikdash. A beautiful, beautiful description. There is, of course, interesting scientific questions around here, because the ratio of the radius to the circumference to the diameter is a 1 to 3 diameter, which is not exactly pi. The Vilna Gaon points out beautifully, if you look in the actual psukim here in Pasuk Chof Gimel, you'll notice that the word kavor, which means the line, the circumference, is spelt differently than it's actually read. If you take the division of kav to kavor, it gives you exactly 3.14, which is again another embedded lesson in Tanakh that there's more to it than meets the surface. Then the Tanakh describes these 10 what are called mechonot. Mechonot are these stands, beautiful elaborate stands for the kior. There were 10 kioros to wash their hands, 5 on each side of the entranceway. And there's a beautiful description about the inscriptions and the wheels on these stands which supported the kiorot. There's obviously a lot of detail that goes into this. These are psukim chav zayin to lamed tes. Then the next section of psukim describes how Hiram finishes the Beis HaMikdash, and he puts this all together, a brief summary of all the kelim, and finally the description of all the kelim which go in the inner sanctum. It is interesting to note that, as opposed to the Mishkan, here in this particular instance, we know that there are actually 10 menorahs and 10 shulchanos. Isn't that interesting? So the way it's described in the Mefarshim is they would have the menorah of Moshe in the center, and along each side would be 5 menorahs of Shlomo. And they would have the shulchan of Moshe, and then they would have the shulchanos, 5 on the right and 5 on the left of that shulchan, still in their regular places. So the menorah would be on the south side, and the shulchan would be on the north side, and each individual one's kelim facing either side. There are matters of debate about around this, but nonetheless, that's the general, most basic assumption. And finally, the Perek concludes, when Shlomo finishes all of this and creating all these beautiful kelim, it describes how when he's finished all this, he brings David HaMelech's coffers, all his money, and merges it into the Oitz Reis Baz Hashem, into the coffers of the temple fund. Why does he only do this now? So the Ralbag points out that this is a very central point to the way Shlomo creates this. Shlomo creates this Mikdash completely devoid and disconnected to war and bloodshed. Not only does he create it in such a way where no kalim of war and bloodshed are used to create the stones, but even the monies won from David's war are not used as part of the cabinet, or as part of the money used to contribute towards this Mikdash. That's how pure it is that Shlomo HaMelech is creating this Mikdash, completely separated, which explains, the Ralbag says, why it took Shlomo HaMelech 4 years to start making the Mikdash. Why didn't he start immediately? Because it took 4 years for him to build up his own funding in order to be able to do this, and afterwards he brings in David HaMelech's funding. So once again, David HaMelech certainly prepared the way, but nonetheless Shlomo HaMelech made his own way so that there would be no connection whatsoever. In the meantime, this gives a brief overview of a very complex parak of 51 psukim. Please read it inside, take a look, and try to work out some more of the details as you go through it yourselves. In the meantime, have a fantastic and wonderful day.